Well, it's lovely to be with you all this evening. And I was thinking about when I was here last time, and I couldn't quite remember. So I had a look, and it was October. And doesn't it feel, I don't know, well, for you it might feel different. For me, it seems much longer ago than October. But it was October that I was last here, so it's lovely to be here again. And I'm also here next week, next Wednesday evening too. And I thought that one of the weeks I would give a report of the work that I'm involved in. So last time I came and talked about the Open Air Mission, gave a bit of the history and where I go. And so I thought maybe tonight I could give, it's going to be partly looking at God's Word, but also partly a report of what I've been doing around in Merseyside and also Southport, Ormskirk, Manchester, other places as well. And I've brought David along with me. So Dave, he'll talk a little bit later on, but he's from Hoy Lake Evangelical Church, and he joins me four times a week in the open air. So he's with me everywhere I go, really. So it's lovely that he could be here again with me this evening. So he'll share a little bit about himself and also some of the contacts he's had too. But before then, shall we read from God's Word? Isaiah chapter 55. And I want to look this evening at Isaiah chapter 55 in Merseyside and see how this chapter, though it was written thousands of years ago, is relevant to Merseyside, to Ormskirk today. I'll read the whole of the chapter. So Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Amen. Well, I'm here as a full-time worker of the Open Air Mission. So if you weren't here in the last time I was here in October, the Open Air Mission is an organisation that goes out into the streets. It's a mission in the open air. It's Do you remember Ron Seal does exactly what it says on the tin? Well, the open air mission does exactly what it says on the tin. It's a mission in the open air. And we go out into the streets of our land. There's 12 full-time men, and we go out in our local areas. So there's one in Scotland, there's one in North Wales, there's some in London and down south as well. And we go out in our local areas and we preach the gospel. And we don't do it in an angry way. We don't do it in a way which makes us have foam round our mouth as we scream and shout at people that they're going to hell, which has sadly been the way others have done it. But we go out with a message of love and we preach it in a loving way. You know, what does God say in Isaiah chapter 1? Come, let us reason together. So if God wants to reason with the sinners, then we should be going out to those who need him and not angrily preaching at them, but trying to reason with them and speak with them. And so that's what we do. And I go to Liverpool, Birkenhead, and I go to Ormskirk on the first Thursday of the month. We meet up with Billy and we go there. I go on to Southport after that. But we go out with the message of verse 1. You see, verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you have no money, come buy and eat." And we read there of water for the one who thirsts and bread or food for the one who has no money and the one who needs it. You see, bread and water, they're the two things that we need, aren't they? And often we can look at the car as it drives past and think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have that? Or we can look at other things and think, wouldn't it be nice to have them? But they're wants. But food and water, they're our needs, aren't they? They are what we need. And when we read through the Old Testament and we see the people of Israel and they need water and food, they are their greatest needs. Without them, they would die. And we read that God provides for them. Well, here we read that the people can come with no money and they can receive water and bread. And as I was reading it, it's a wonderful chapter, isn't it? And as I was reading through it, I thought about Jesus Christ in John chapter 4. And he's talking with that woman at the well in Samaria. And what does he say? He says, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for water. And I would give you living water." And she doesn't quite understand. And she says, "You know, you haven't got a bucket with you. How are you going to draw water out?" And he very gently says, "You know, whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst again." And so we go out to the people of Liverpool, the people of Southport, the people of Manchester, and we show them Jesus Christ, the one who gives them living water. And we offer this eternal water, this eternal life, obviously in the name of Jesus Christ. But then we also read of bread, and it reminded me of John chapter 6. And previous to this, he's fed the 5,000 people. He's then walked on water. They followed him round the lake to the other side. And what do they want? They want more food. And Jesus actually says to them, doesn't he? He says, "You haven't come because you want me or to hear my teachings, but because you ate and you were satisfied." And he says about Moses, and he talks about the manna, and he talks about the true bread from heaven, doesn't he? And he says, "I am the bread of life." And so we go out to those who need food, who need water, and we say, "The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of heaven. He is the living water." And we go out and we offer the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 2 says, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread?" Isn't that just sum up our nation? They live their lives, they try for what is not going to satisfy. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to just name a few people who search after what doesn't satisfy. But firstly, I'm going to ask David to come up. He's going to give an introduction to himself, because it does say here, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread?" And when I read that, I thought, well, who would do that? If you're hungry and you've got money, surely you'd buy food. But David, before he comes to help me in the open air, he goes down to Charles Thompson Mission, and he meets there people who actually do spend their money for what is not bread. And they would spend their money rather than for what they need, but for what they're addicted to. And so we need to go out to these people who spiritually spend their money, their lives, their they work for what is not going to satisfy them. But David actually meets with people who are addicted, and so they, I don't know, do you understand what I'm trying to say? They actually physically do not spend their money on what satisfies, but instead they go for what they're addicted to. And we need to pray for those people as much as we need to pray for everybody else that we've met. So I'm going to ask David if he'll just come up and share a little bit about what he does among the homeless people, and then also some of the people he's met as well.
Thanks, Alan. Well, it's lovely to be here. It's nice to have a decent hymn book. This is great for worship, really is. And, you know, I miss Grace hymns. I was in a Grace Baptist church for nearly 29 years. I actually came to saving faith on the 1st of September 1975. I had to join the army. I'd lost my job through stealing and a drink problem. And so I joined in 1970. And 1974, I was posted to Cyprus. I was there for a 2.5-year tour. And anyone who went to Cyprus in the 70s would, if they had a drink problem, would wind up an alcoholic. And in fact, the army used to lose more men to drink-related problems in Cyprus than did join the troubles in Northern Ireland. But I came across the gospel. I didn't want the gospel. I didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted my sin. I even tried to prove there was no God. And but on the 28th of August, 75, I received a letter from my father. And he asked me a question. My mother drowned while I was drunk before we went out to Cyprus. And that's how I got involved with Christians, because they saw it as a mess and they tried to help me, but I didn't want to know. But he simply asked me this question. He said, "Dave, what's life all about? Because I'm so lonely and I'm so empty." And I wrote a long letter back to him and said, "Dad, I ain't got a clue." And I did this throwaway remark. It wasn't anything in stone. I said, "I'm going to go to church on Sunday." And the next day, a friend rang me up. He said, "Will you come round? I'm going to get married." We celebrated. And it took me nearly 3 days to get over that drinking bout. And I was used to drinking a bottle of spirits a day. But on the Monday, which is the 1st of September, I left work at 1:30. I went to the mess. I got back to my room, which would be about 2:30 in the afternoon. I opened up the Bible. I didn't know the Bible one end from the other. I didn't know the Bible, but I just happened to be reading. And I wouldn't read for very long because I'm dyslexic. And God broke into my life. He said, "I've gone and delivered you from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom, my dear son." That was Colossians 1:13. I've had my testimony made into radio programs twice by Grace Baptist Mission. The first one went over the air in 82. And then I was married, and my first wife had breast cancer, and 6 months after she went to glory. I like sharing this because I talk about death like that. I said, she just lifted her hand and said, "I'm going home." And there she was in great peace and joy. And Grace Baptist Mission did another program because they wanted to know how someone with a alcohol addiction could cope with caring and bereavement. But I was remarried within 9 months of being bereaved. And my second wife went to glory last March. So Alan's been a lifeline for me. Because, you know, you're bereaved again. And you've got to build a new life. You can't stay how you wanted to stay. You've got to move on. So Alan's been a lifeline. And that's one of the reasons why I got involved in Charles Thompson Mission. I go to Hoy Lake Evangelical, and the superintendent there, Bernie Frost, is a friend of mine. We go to the same church. And so I go on a Monday. And on a Monday, I do a five-minute gospel presentation at 11 o'clock. We have about 20-odd people in for breakfast. And then if anyone wants to talk, I talk with them. And then I do another one at 12. And then if no one wants to talk, then I shoot off and meet up with Alan in Lord Street. We do come across some incredible people in the mission. So I'm going to tell you about one person. His name's Rob. Everything was going for him. He had a nice home here in the Wirral. He had his wife. He had a booming business in building down in London. But the recession hit and down went his business. The same time his wife kicked him out of the home and got a new man in. So he's gone from up here and he's now in the Ark, which is a place for the homeless. And he was coming to Charles Thompson Mission for help. And in fact, I was with him this afternoon. Well, I go there on a Monday and I go there on a Wednesday. We have a gospel meeting on a Wednesday. And we get, I think there's about 20 people there today. But Rob was there today with a friend, a mutual friend of ours. But he's difficult to know. He's not in the same place he was before, drink-wise, though he lapses into drink. I mean, the last time I had a drink was 29th of August, 75. So I don't know. But he gives thanks to the Lord. He's got a one-bedroom flat by a housing association. So I shall probably be seeing him on Friday. And if I come in here next week, I'll probably go there for dinner before I come here. Because it's a lot easier just to go down the road in Birkenhead rather than go home. Yeah, we do get quite a lot of interesting characters. Last week, I was sitting with a chap called Ian. He won't mean anything to you, but his name's Ian. He's very, very nervous. He's had massive problems, mental problems. But we just went through the sermon again. And I never take anything from the mission. But last week there was an absolute avalanche of fruit. And Bernie said, if you don't take it, it will go rotten. So I've got this bag of fruit upstairs. And I thought, I'm talking to Ian. I said, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Alan's just been saying, come, buy milk and wine without money, without price. So I've got this bag of fruit. I said, Ian, it's for you. All you've got to do is take it. It's not going to cost you a penny. It's yours for free. All you've got to do is take it and use it. I said, the same with the Lord Jesus. You take him to you and you live in him. So it's quite interesting. The problem is I've just come back from Malta. And when I went to Malta, I said to Anna, I said, I need some literature because if it's not, it's going to be Arminian. And I don't take Arminian stuff. So I got some. And I was determined that I would just chat with people. Because when we're in the open air, we just give out tracts, a lot of tracts. And we get sometimes, but we give out an awful lot. But in Malta, I thought, I'm going to meet Maltese. I'm going to meet expats. I'm going to meet tourists. So I can talk to them and I've chatted with them. Then I can give them a leaflet. So anyway, about 180 went. So I can't tell you much about Malta. There are one or two people I'm praying for. Incidentally, there are three people in the Baptist Church in Malta. They're members there. And they're members through the work of my late wife. And that's a long story. So there's, I do two things. Tomo's on a Monday. I'll be speaking next Monday. And then I'll be trying to get alongside folk. I'll be there on Wednesday. I'll then be with Alan in Liverpool. Do pray for us. It's so vitally pray for us. I can't stress enough how important prayer is. It's absolutely vital. God doesn't do anything without prayer. You know, if you want to share, and I trust everyone here wants to share something with someone, and there's only one way you can share, that means you've got to be devoted to God. You've got to delight yourself in God. Because if you delight yourself in God, 37 verse 4, then he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in God, he's number one in your life. That's who you're going to talk about. I was coming back on the plane in December, and I fell in contact with this chap, and he said, "I'm not religious." I said, "I'll prove to you you're religious." He said, "No, I'm not religious." I said, "You are." I said, "Everyone's incurably religious till Jesus Christ comes in their life and they have a relationship with God. They stop being religious." I said, "You're religious." "It's not, I'm not." I said, "I tell you, you worship Manchester City. You're telling everyone I worship Manchester City." He said, "You're right." Because he heard that, he was open for the gospel. We get so many different ones. I mean, Alan said, would you preach? I'd just been carved up by a chap. You know, I just got an earful of expletives in my ear, and I wasn't in a position to preach. And I thought, no, I'm not going to preach. And a young lady came on with a caption on her T-shirt. And this caption says, "Nobody cares. Nobody cares." And I was able to share how God cares and how he can come. I've been rambling, haven't I? I trust it's been a blessing. We're in St. Helens on Friday. It is getting slightly easier, isn't it, Alan? When I first started with Alan said, "I've been there since April." I've been here once because you have a first Friday. I came with Anne Carroll, but I've been with Alan ever since. So I don't come on a Friday, and it's quite nice. But I'm going to leave you with a lady called Jill. For those who are involved in Mums and Toddlers, you'll know her. She's from Arbroath. It's one of those things that happens. She lives in the station downtown, whatever. Town Green. Town Green. Well, somehow she got trapped on the train at Town Green. So she's going all the way back up to Ormskirk and coming back down again. Well, I'm going to get here about 10 past. So I thought, well, I'm going to go up to Ormskirk as well. And so we fell into conversation. And she said, yes. And she said, one thing about the place, said, lovely people there. So you got a good testimony. Lovely people there. Do pray for her. It's just one of those things that happen. These things happen. But when we're in prayer, when we're truly seeking God, things will happen. Have I said enough, young man?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you very much, David. It's David's one of these people that has an incredible knack of just getting into conversations with everybody. You heard him talk about someone's T-shirt, and he can just turn it around. So he's a great asset to have in the open air, and the Lord blesses him with conversations, and thank you for sharing. I'd just like to share a couple of conversations that I've had, which for me are summed up with this spending their money for what is not bread. And there's a man that I met called Jake. He was in his teenage years, and he sat down on one of the benches in Liverpool, and he sat and he listened while I preached. And a normal open air talk lasts about 15 minutes. And he sat and listened to the whole thing. And then at the end, I went over to him and offered him a leaflet. And he told me how he just lives for the weekend. And that's what he lives his life for. Monday morning is the worst day, the worst part of any week. Tuesday morning, slightly better. Wednesday morning's better again. But on Friday, that's where his life all starts to explode. And he lives for the weekend. And then at the end of the weekend, it seems like there's nothing, there's no purpose to life anymore. And Jake said to me, he said, there's no point to it. He said, it just doesn't satisfy. He said, while I'm out partying on a Saturday night, I feel happy and I feel, you know, like there's satisfaction there. But on a Monday morning, there clearly isn't. And he said, I'm sick of it. I want to change. And I was able to say, the Lord Jesus Christ can bring change. Yeah. And here's a man who, he goes after what doesn't satisfy. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the gospel to share with him. So do please pray for Jake. I'd also ask you to pray for George as well. I've met George many times in Birkenhead. Week after week I meet George. So last time I was here I told you about Charlie, who I was meeting week after week. And I'll just share, I was asked before about Charlie. He asked for a Bible on CD. His reading isn't too great, so he said, I'd like a Bible, but I'd like it on CD. So I saw him week after week, and then when the CD Bible arrived, I got it online, so I had to wait for it to be posted to me. And after I'd got it, I stopped seeing him. And every week I would take it in the open air, and I wouldn't see him. And I put it back in the car until next week when I'd take it out, and again I wouldn't see him, and it would go back in the car. And then I went away on a conference last week, so I wasn't in the open air, so I emptied my car of the open air board and everything else. And I forgot this morning to put it back in, this Bible back in. And you'll never guess who I saw today. So I said to him, I said, Charlie, will you be here next week? And he said, I will. Because I told him I had it. He said, I'll make sure I come and get it from you. So do please pray that he will. Pray that I remember to put it in. Pray that he will stand good on what he said and he'll come down and I'll be able to pass that on to him. But while I haven't been seeing Charlie, I've been meeting this guy called George, who's 89 years old. So we could say he's had his 3 score years and 10, and we don't really know how much longer he's got left. He does seem to be of relatively good health, despite being almost 90. But he said to me, he said he loves history, so we can chat about history. And he'll happily stand in the open air and talk about history. He didn't always. He was very off with me to begin with. But over the weeks, he got to know me a bit. And now he'll stand and talk with me, and he'll talk about history. He'll talk about James Bond. He'll talk about Everton Football Club. He'll talk about the things he wants to talk about. But as soon as I mention Jesus, you can see it, can't you? The shutters go down. And, oh, is that the time? Sorry, Alan, I've got to go. And he told me that one day he saw this book, The History of the World, and it grabbed his attention, so he bought it. And then his son asked him a question about one of the world wars, and he gave him this book. And he had a bit of a rant at me as well at the time. He said, you young people, you don't read. And if you young people read more, you'd get the answers to your questions before you even ask the questions. And so he gave his son this book, and he said, you read that, and if you read, you'll find the answer to your question. And then a bit further on in the conversation, the exact same week, the same conversation, about 10 minutes later, he said to me, I can't believe in God. If there's a God of love, why is there so much suffering in the world? So I went over to the board and I grabbed the book, Why All the Suffering? I said, there you go, Charlie. Sorry, George, there you go. Why don't you read that? If you read that, you'll find the answer. And he refused it. Point blank, he said, I'm not going to take that. And I quoted his own words back to him. And I said, oh, you people, you just don't read, do you? I said, if you take this and you read it, you'll find the answer to your question. He did. He smiled and chuckled, but he still refused to take it. And each week, I've tried to give him this book. He's one of these people that likes to throw the questions out without waiting to hear the answers. And so in the end, 2 weeks ago, in front of him, I wrote his name in this book. I said, this is yours, and I'm not going to give it to anybody else. Because it's got your name in it, so no one else wants it. I said, so one day you take it. I said, I know you won't take it today, but I'll pray that you'll take it another week. So please pray that he will. He was very adamant he was never going to take it. I'll probably be in trouble with the open air mission if he never does. But do please pray that he will take this booklet. He's a man who's got questions, and he's asked me many questions, but he doesn't want the answers. He's got such a hard heart. And yet I read in the book of Acts of the Apostles of a man called Saul of Tarsus, who had a hard heart and was broken and was converted. So let's pray that George would have a softening in his heart, that he would be humbled, and that he would take this book. Also, please pray for Luke. Luke was a guy who, again in Birkenhead, he sat and listened on the bench, and I went over to him and he said, "You know, I've never really heard any of this before." He said, "My mum and dad, they're not really one way or the other. They're not anti-God, they're not pro-God. They don't care and I don't care," basically is what he said. He said, "But what you said really made sense." And I talked about a few issues while I was preaching. I talked about suffering. I talked about corrupt politicians. And, you know, you just sort of get going with the way it happens to take you. And I'd said about how not just politicians are corrupt, but we're all corrupt. And that is how sin came into the world, was through men going against what God has said. And as I was preaching, at the end, he said to me, he said, "You know, it all just makes sense." He said, "I'd love to know more." So he took a Gospel of John, he took a booklet entitled The Unique Jesus, and he said that he would read them. So do please pray for Luke, someone who's never really stopped to consider. It's incredible, isn't it? In England, in 21st century England, we have Christmas each year, we have Easter each year. We hear about Jesus being born and him dying on the cross and rising again, and yet there are people who just don't stop and think about it. They happily take the holiday from work, but they don't stop and think about Jesus. So do please pray for Luke. And then today, again in Birkenhead, I didn't mean for them to all be in Birkenhead, but Phil, we spoke to Phil today. Now, I've just come back from some illness. I've got this thing that's been going around. I'm clean now, though, don't worry. So this was my first open air back for over a week. But I still got this morning it seems to have gone. I still had a bit of a sore throat, so I didn't preach. But while we were stood there, Phil just approached us. And he said, "I'd like to know more about all of this." And we gave him a leaflet. And this man, he said, he's got schizophrenia. He's got other issues there. And he said, "You know, I just can't get free. I want to get free from the mental illness. I want to get free from the problems that I have." He didn't go into too much detail. But isn't it wonderful? It doesn't matter who they are, whether they're young or old, whether they've got some sort of disability or not, we can give them the same message, the same gospel. And so we were able to share with him about the Lord Jesus Christ who can break us free. And this man broke down to tears. And he said, "You know, this is what I need." And he took a Gospel of John and he took the leaflet that he was given as well. So do please pray for Phil. I understand there's a lot of names there and time is rushing on. So we'll leave there. And I just want to come to the end of Isaiah chapter 55. So this chapter, it talks about people who spend for what is not bread. They use their wages for what doesn't satisfy. It talks about a nation which is turned against God. And I would say that really that sums up the people that I meet on a daily basis. And yet we read of how they can come without money and they can buy food. They can have satisfaction. They can have that which they need. And that's why we go out. But then we have a wonderful ending to this chapter, verses 10 to 13. And this is what I'd just like to spend a few moments on, just as an encouragement. Because we should all go out, as David said, we should all go out and share about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's an encouragement to go out and to share and to talk with others. It's an encouragement for me as an individual. It's an encouragement for the mission as a whole. And often this passage is mentioned in conversation as we talk to others. And I pray that, as it's just briefly mentioned this evening, it will be an encouragement to you as a fellowship and also as individuals. As you reach out into autumn, as you talk over the garden fence, as you talk in the bus stop, however you share about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the challenge, if you don't, is that you do go out and challenge. But we read in verse 10, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Aren't they wonderful words? And the Bible often uses these agricultural pictures, doesn't it? So we've got the parable of the sower that our Lord told, of a man who went out and sowed, and it, some places it brought forth a harvest. And he uses this whole picture of garden, of farming, to show us what the Bible, what the gospel reacts like in different people. Yesterday, in my own church, we had a message on the fruit of the Spirit. And there it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It talks about, it uses that idea of fruit, like a tree that brings forth. It's the sign of life. And here again, we see another agricultural picture. We've got rain coming down from heaven, and on today, this April day, very April day, wasn't it? April showers. We know exactly what the rain coming down is like. And so, just like the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it doesn't go back up, does it? You know, sometimes we might wish that it would go back up, but once it's hit the floor, it stays there, doesn't it? You know, it goes into a drain and all sorts, but we never see it rise back up again. That's not what it does. It comes down and it waters the earth. Why? To make it bring forth and bud and produce. Well, that picture is then taken, and that's what the gospel does. You see, it doesn't go back to God void, we read. It doesn't return to him without doing that which it's supposed to do. If the rain was to fall down and then go back up again, it's not done what it's meant to do. And that's not what the Bible does. That's not what the gospel does. But we read that it accomplishes the things which he pleases, and it prospers for the reason in which he sent it. And so as we go out and we share the gospel, and often we can't see many results. Often there's still too many chairs empty that we would like. But we can have confidence in this promise here. A promise that we can cling to as we go out. That God's word does not return to him void. It doesn't come back empty, but it always does that which he wants it to. But then it goes on and we read in verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, yes, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And there we read of unprofitable ground transformed. You see, instead of it being a briar, instead of it being a thorn, we've got trees. And as I read that, I thought instantly of Psalm 1, of the tree planted by the streams of water. And here we see that this ground, which is producing thorns, and it's producing that which is a weed, that which isn't good, well, instead of that shall come up trees. Shall come up with that which is strong and sturdy. Shall come up with that which is useful, that bears fruit. And so there's another promise that we can cling to, another little encouragement as we go out and share the gospel. That God's word here says that it will not return to him void, and also that which is unprofitable will be transformed through the power of the gospel. And we need to continue, as David said, to pray, continue to go out in prayer, praying for the people we meet afterwards, praying for the people we meet even before we've met them, praying that the gospel would break into their hearts. So do please pray for the people I've mentioned this evening. Do please pray for the people that David's mentioned. Do please pray for us as we go out and share the gospel. And as you go out as well, there's some encouragements. Well, I hope some encouragements that God's word has promised that it transforms lives, and we can cling to that. Isn't it wonderful that this was in the book of Isaiah? You know, people say to us, oh, I like the God of the New Testament, but not the God of the Old Testament. Well, isn't it wonderful that here we read of a God who is abounding in mercy, a God who says, come, says, seek the Lord, call upon him, forsake your ways, return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and will abundantly pardon. Isn't that wonderful that we have a God who will abundantly pardon and give mercy to those who come? And so we need to go out holding on to the promises of God's word, sharing the gospel, which brings forth that transformation.